it's in the breaking, we come unbound. And it's in the giving, we are found. Yeah, you can barely change.
Welcome to A Medicinal Mind, Wisdom and Well-Being, a podcast dedicated to the telling of authentic stories and the sharing of insightful wisdom, exploring science and spirituality, medicine and Mother Nature. No topic is off limits when it comes to growing our personal understanding and supporting our collective well-being. With your host, Dr. Rob Abbott, a family medicine resident practicing spiritually focused and evolutionarily informed functional medicine, we hope to nourish your being so that you can flourish in whatever the moment has called for you to do.
And I know you try.
In episode 5 of A Medicinal Mind, Wisdom and Well-Being, we share in an engaging conversation with world-class CrossFit athlete and recent medical school graduate Julie Fouché-Urquhoyo. As you will hear in our discussion, I first discovered Julie as part of her inspiring podcast, Pursuing Health, and more specifically, after her episode with our mutual friend and the mastermind behind the evolution of medicine and the functional forum, James Maskell. Between the three of us, we share tremendous passions for lifestyle medicine, fitness, and utilizing a functional ancestral approach to restoring health and maintaining wellness. Julie and I, additionally, are both about to embark on new journeys as first-year family medicine residents. But before I lay out the specific details for today's show, I want to share a little bit more about Julie and her amazing life story. Julie is a 4-time CrossFit Games athlete and finished on the CrossFit Games podium twice, second in 2012 and third in 2014, both during her time in medical school, and has never finished outside the top 5. Julie also has a growing interest in functional medicine, having completed her medical school training at the Cleveland Clinic, and she's about to begin her residency training with the Cleveland Clinic's Fairview Hospital Family Medicine Residency Program. Her passion lies in combining what she has learned through all of these modalities to inspire and empower others to live a lifestyle that supports optimal health. She additionally hosts the previously mentioned podcast, Pursuing Health, where she shares inspiring stories of individuals from all walks of life. During our discussion, besides reminiscing and reflecting about our own medical school journeys, we dig into some really important questions facing medical professionals, medical trainees, and our nation as a whole. In the podcast, you will hear Julie's fascinating background as a medical student and CrossFit athlete, balancing grueling training with the rigors of medical school, how CrossFit and exercise in general can be used and scaled for both the experienced athlete and novice beginner. You will hear Julie's approach for addressing health concerns through a multifactorial program, including diet, stress management, and of course, exercise. We dig into a thoughtful discussion into the concept of exercise versus movement, how one can grow through traumatic life events, including major injuries, and the importance of engaging in the process versus simply being motivated by a potential outcome. And lastly, Julie shares her latest projects and her intentions for holding a space designed to heal and nourish. Did you know CrossFit is actually the ideal place to be vulnerable, to connect, and to grow? Enjoy this powerful conversation from two young professionals seeking to change the way medicine is practiced and what the practice of medicine even means. A huge thank you to Julie for taking time to share in this conversation, and I hope you all find some nourishment in this thought-provoking and emotional discussion. Enjoy the show. Well, hello, Julie. Thank you so much for sharing a conversation with me. It's just kind of, I always keep saying I'm honored to be sharing the space with some of my guests, because it's really just, it is an honor to be talking with you and just have the capacity to make these connections. Technology is a blessing and a curse. And so I'm so blessed for technology to have podcasts and, you know, these amazing web pages to get connected with people who share similar interests. And so thank you for sharing this space and having a conversation today. So you probably have a much larger following at this point, and they probably know everything about you. But for this audience and, you know, for whoever's listening, let's just, you know, maybe start with letting them know a little bit about your background and who you are.
Sure. So I grew up in Michigan. I was always very into sports. So I did, well, sports, but not ball sports. I couldn't throw a ball or catch a ball. I was not that coordinated. But I did gymnastics growing up, which was amazing. And then I got into a little bit of track and field when I was in high school. And in high school was also when I first started thinking about medicine as a career. I remember taking a biology class, a human biology class, and just being so fascinated and learning about cells and pathways and the way that on a microscopic level everything worked in our body, and I was super fascinated by that, and also took a psychology class around the same time. So I thought maybe medicine would be the way to go. But then in college I ended up studying biomedical engineering, mostly because my dad was an engineer and he kind of pushed me to do something that would, in case I changed my mind from medicine, that I would have a clear path. And I actually loved it. I love problem solving, and I love math. And it was really a great experience for me, but I definitely would not have been a good engineer. So it was a great stepping stone for me to medical school, and I really enjoyed it. But I kind of always knew I was going to end up going to medical school. And that became pretty clear after the first year or two. I had some opportunities to see what biomedical research was like. I was able to see a little bit of what an industry job would be like. And I just realized I needed that personal interaction, and I was really, really fascinated with the physician-patient relationship. So ended up applying to med school. And also during that time, about halfway through college, is when I found CrossFit. So my husband, when we first met, we actually met in the dorms at Michigan, and he was looking at the CrossFit website, CrossFit.com, and I was really interested because I was kind of lost athletically. I knew that, you know, I'd always loved doing sports and having a coach and going to practice when I was in high school, and then once I got to college, I just didn't know what to do with myself, and so I would go to the gym and run on the treadmill or the elliptical and do some sit-ups, and I tried to do a couple of sprint triathlons, but just hadn't found my thing, and I always kind of knew that I was meant to be doing some sort of athletic endeavor, and so when I found CrossFit, it was really the perfect fit for me, and my husband and I both joined the local CrossFit affiliate. That was in the summer of 2009. And things kind of took off from there. So that was earlier on in CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. So the Games only started in 2007. And during that first year, I made tons of progress and really surprised myself along the way and ended up qualifying to the CrossFit Games in 2010. And then it just became a really big part of my life. So I competed in 2010, 11, right as I was starting medical school, and then took a year off during my second year of med school, and then came back and competed two more years in 12 and 14 while I was doing some research in the middle of my medical school. So that has been a huge part of my life. It's still a big part of my life, although I'm not competing anymore because it's just basically a full-time job and I'm trying to finish my medical training. So now I'm actually just about to graduate like you this weekend and really looking forward to starting residency in family medicine in July. And then another sort of thing that and how we connected was my interest in functional medicine, which really came about through CrossFit. I had heard some whisperings of functional medicine and what it was, and I had been exposed to people like Chris Kresser and followed some of his work. And then I happened to go to school at the Cleveland Clinic, and so when they opened the Center for Functional Medicine there, it was just an amazing opportunity to learn more about it, and have continued to really try to learn as much as I can about it and eventually make it a big part of my practice.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, I feel like, and I've started listening to, you know, many of your podcasts, and perhaps people would be, you know, thinking, our connection must have been through CrossFit, because that's how everyone, you know, I feel like everyone knows you through your athletic endeavors. And, you know, I actually, you know, stumbled across you listening to James Maskell. He sent out, I guess, an email for the Functional Forum saying, hey, guess what, guys? I'm on this really cool podcast with this really innovative medical student, Julie Fouché. And at the time, I had no idea who you were. I knew quite a bit about, you know, CrossFit. It was something I even, you know, dabbled a little bit in, kind of in that same disillusioned space of being, you know, I was a team sport guy, mm-hmm. All in high school and as a kid. You get to college and I sort of lost my team. You know, what do I do with my time? And I sort of started riding my bike, and it started out as a good sort of athletic endeavor, and then it kind of eventually became my escape from some of the, you know, just academic rigors and whatnot. And so yeah, I dabbled a little bit in some of just different training modalities in CrossFit, but it didn't entirely fit what I was interested in. But I recognized it was a really nourishing community. But yeah, I heard this, you know, this podcast, and you guys were talking about sort of the interface between CrossFit and these mm-hmm. new gyms, and how it could be very beneficial for somebody wanting to start a small practice to Absolutely. Practice functional medicine. And, you know, if you can't have a full size clinic, what do you do? Well, maybe let me go meet people who already probably have some degree of interest in well-being, because they're coming to this gym and throwing their bodies around like crazy people. So maybe that's a good relationship. And so I reached out to you, and I kind of have to think back to the exact dates, but it was, you know, in sort of the beginnings of looking into residency programs, mm-hmm. and, you know, I started just going through your podcast and your page and, you know, putting one thing together and figuring out that, you know, you probably, you know, my bet would be you'd be staying in Cleveland. And it was one of the programs I was really interested in, because mm-hmm. yes, I'd have access like right there, no barrier to the Functional Medicine Center. And just the program in general sort of fit with a good blend of DOs and MDs in the curriculum. And it was actually my first interview back, you know, last October. And uh-huh. I loved it. I mean, just, I loved everyone there. I remember Dr. Schneider, the director, just, I mean, I really loved it. And I mean, at that time too, the weather was beautiful. I went out to one of the parks. And
it's a good time to come visit.
Yeah. And everyone was like, everyone's got, you know, people have things against Cleveland. And I was like, I have nothing, you know, against Cleveland.
I love it here. Yeah, people say that all the time, but I love Cleveland. And I'm from Michigan, so I'm not supposed to love Ohio, but both Danny and I have really fallen in love with the city.
I was really impressed, and it was you know, really at the top of my list. And, you know, at the back of my mind, I was like, I don't really like snow. I heard they kind of get snow here. But we'll sort of just see, keep an open mind as the interview season, you know, unfolded. And mm-hmm. kind of one thing led to another, and it kind of led me back to staying closer connected to my community, not actually staying in Charlottesville, Virginia, where I'm about to graduate from the University of Virginia. I needed something a little bit different, but Cleveland was going to be just a little bit too disconnected from my community. And so mm-hmm. in the end, I kind of chose a different path. But in my mind, I think I remember reaching out to you in an email. I was like, man, this would be the most amazing if we went there and like it'd team functional so medicine awesome. Intern. Like,
yeah.
They could maybe suppress one of those, but there's no way that, you know, they wouldn't, two voices. But
right. That being said, they're so open to it, which is amazing. And I'm sure that our paths will cross again at some point down the line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was already reaching out, I was telling Dr. Schneider, I was very honest with her. I was just about, sort of the community aspect of where I wanted to be. And I was like, I have a third year away rotation, and I think I know exactly where I would love to be to come by and do some, functional and integrative medicine in Cleveland. So I was not about to just to leave things as they were. So right. Yeah, I think our paths will certainly, hopefully they'll cross before then. But it would be kind of fun to go there and take part in some of the functional medicine training that you guys have through the Cleveland Clinic. So
definitely.
I definitely understand that fitness and CrossFit, it's been a huge part of your life, and you've really nurtured a lot of people, both from maybe who entered it from a medical space or a non-medical space, but really used fitness in this different movement practice as a way to cultivate community and cultivate wellness. And I'd love to get your thoughts on perhaps how, you talked a little bit about how it sort of shaped your life, but how have you seen it play out in terms of building community and bridging maybe more clinical medicine with just, hey, I want to have fun with this, with fitness.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the community is by far my favorite aspect of CrossFit, and I think that's what makes it so powerful. And people ask that question a lot, like, why is the community so strong? There's so many other fitness programs out there or workout classes, or what is it about CrossFit that makes the community so strong? And I really think that it has to do with what we're doing. And I don't know of another program where people are put so often in a situation where they're really vulnerable together, where they're doing things that are really uncomfortable, but they're overcoming obstacles together. They're learning how to do new skills. They're learning to jump rope again. My mom started doing CrossFit, and she was so happy because she said she hadn't jumped rope since she was in grade school. Learning how to do a pull-up,
so cool.
things like that, like learning how to do a pull-up. Maybe someone has never been able to do a pull-up their whole life, and then finally they learn how to do it, or, being able to pick up a barbell or climb a rope, things like that, that people really thought they could never do, but with the right training and the right coaching and the right environment, they're able to do it. And people doing that together is really, really powerful because it transfers outside the gym. So it gives people the confidence to say, I can do things that I never thought I was capable of. And if I am in a tough situation and it's uncomfortable, that's okay. I'm going to get through it, and I'm going to just put one foot in front of the other, and I can do it. So the confidence that people gain when they start doing CrossFit is really, really amazing. And then the support from the community is really, really powerful too. For a lot of people, their affiliate becomes their community. So most of their friends are there. They spend time with each other outside of the gym after they work out. They go out to dinner or go to the movies or whatever together, because you get to know. There's not a lot of other situations where you can get to know people so quickly, because you're just being vulnerable together. You're pushing really hard, you're pushing yourself to your limit, and then supporting and cheering each other on no matter how you finish. It's not really about the results or what you can do. As long as you're pushing yourself hard, everyone's going to support you and cheer you on. So from that standpoint, I think it's really, really powerful alone, but then also just the impact that it can have on people's health. So I think so many times people just accept that aging means I'm going to get high blood pressure, my cholesterol is going to get high. Eventually, I might end up in a nursing home. Things like that that are, people just accept as normal parts of aging, which really don't have to be. And I think CrossFit is changing that paradigm and showing people that, hey, if you take care of yourself, if you learn how to move your body and develop strength and functional movements, then you don't have to have high blood pressure. You don't have to have diabetes. And also, obviously, eating, right? I think that's the foundation of our, we talk about our pyramid or our hierarchy of fitness, and nutrition forms the foundation. And that doesn't have to be your fate. You can live really healthy and be really functional late into your life if you train for it and train for whatever life throws your way.
Wow, there's so many wonderful things I'd love to unpack in that answer. I'm sitting here just thinking a concept you threw out, a space to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I think if you ask people like, why do you come to CrossFit? I don't think you'd get, their answer would be, I came here because I want to be vulnerable. Like right. that's probably not why they came there, but it's what inherently happens when you come from a place of support. And I love that idea. It's like people realize they can try something super challenging, something that they've never done, and there will be no fear of judgment or attachment to an outcome. I've really tried to incorporate in my life this concept of, invest in the process, not mm-hmm. the outcome. And like you said, it doesn't matter if you end up, getting your best time, or, the number of pull-ups you end up doing, or if you do zero pull-ups. But let's invest in the process and be willing to challenge ourselves, knowing that our community is going to support us and we won't face judgment for that. And we do, I think, have to take ownership. If we want to hold that kind of space, we have to take ownership and try to keep it really sacred. If people begin to bring in negative energy into that space, or there does start to be an environment of judgment mm-hmm. Or self-doubt, then I would be the first one to say, like, I'm not going to welcome that type of energy in this space. And I'm sure you've been in plenty of gyms or environments where you've felt that, and it's just not it's conducive to that nurturing community space. But it's funny to think that that's happening at a CrossFit, and I find that fascinating. I don't know about you, but
oh yeah, it's amazing. And you'll find there's so much variation in CrossFit affiliates, because really every owner can run their gym however they want, and so it's really up to them how they want to establish the culture. And I think you do find the really successful affiliates where people want to stay are where they really cultivate that culture where people are supporting each other, and when they just don't tolerate negativity or negative self-talk, and really try to help people and support them to be the best that they can be.
Yeah, and I find too, it can be difficult when, as soon as you find your tribe, your community, or you start to develop a degree of competence in, a certain skill or a certain area. Perhaps it's medicine, so you're getting better as a clinician, or you're getting better as a CrossFit athlete. It's easy to kind of become a little bit complacent, but also sort of really dig into what's benefited you and have to share that with everyone. And it becomes the only path to wellness or to joy or happiness. And we have to make sure we step back and really can't be attached to perhaps what's really benefited us or what we think is going to be best for our patients here. I'm fluent with this process. I'm fluent with this modality, CrossFit, or I'm fluent with these types of drugs, whatever it is. We can't be siloed to what we're accustomed to or feel comfortable doing, because we start asking the wrong question. We don't really dig in to ask the patient, how can I best support you to achieve your goals, not what I think is best for you? And that's, it can cause a lot of resistance for any type of clinician, whether you're MD, ND, any type of clinician, health coach, anyone trying to help somebody improve. If you start to enter, weave your, what you want for the patient, but what they want for themselves, you can create a lot of suffering for both you and your client or your patient. And so I was kind of curious, you have this CrossFit background, but perhaps CrossFit's not right for everyone. You know, even if they're an athlete, maybe CrossFit's just not the right fit. Or, you know, if they're a complete non-athlete, what's the starting place? It can be perhaps a little intimidating to walk into one of these gyms. So on a practical level, how have you started to help people maybe that are new to this concept of exercise in general or new to CrossFit kind of cultivate this? Or where have you turned to when CrossFit hasn't been the right fit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you bring up a really, really important point in that it really, and especially in any kind of therapeutic relationship, that you can't, and just with behavior change in general, it has to come from the person. You can't force anything on anyone, even if you think that it would be beneficial to them. It's really about helping to identify what they need and to give them the right resources and partnering with them to help them move in the right direction. So for first of all, I think that CrossFit, oftentimes people, if you get down to the basics of what CrossFit is constantly varied functional movement executed at high intensity. And the intensity is relative to the person. So we often say that the needs of an Olympic athlete and your grandmother differ in degree, not kind. So I could do the same workout as my grandmother, but it would just look very, very different. I might be using a barbell. She might be standing up and sitting down from a chair and pushing herself away from a wall, and I might be doing push-ups. So a CrossFit is also infinitely scalable. So it just because you say that you are doing CrossFit doesn't mean that, or you can't, it's not that you can't apply these principles outside of the gym. You don't have to be a member of a CrossFit affiliate. You can be in your garage. The idea is just to help people move in a way that's functional. And so oftentimes, if people are interested in increasing their activity or learning some exercise, I like to start with really basic, simple stuff and helping them. I think one of the most important things that someone can learn is how to do a proper squat. And that doesn't have to be with any weight. It doesn't have to be all the way below parallel, but maybe they're standing up and sitting down off of a chair or a bench or a stool and trying to just get a full range of motion in all of their joints. So I love helping people try to do some basic stuff, even if they're doing some stuff at home, like basic body weight movements, like push-ups and squats and sit-ups. If they can get on a bike or a rower or walking, jogging, and burpees, I think are one of the most useful exercises for anyone to do, because you don't have to go to the gym and do a 30-minute workout to get a good workout. You can wake up in the morning and do 20 burpees and hop in the shower, and you've just really helped yourself out. You've gotten your heart rate up. You've moved yourself from a full range of motion. If you think about it, a lot of the reasons why people end up in a nursing home or why people end up needing assistance later in life is because they're not able to get themselves up off the ground if they fall, and they need supervision.
You're so true.
So if you know how to do a burpee and you practice a burpee on a regular basis, you're going to be a lot less likely to be in that situation as you age. It's I think a lot of times it's when people completely stop moving and then decades pass and suddenly they don't know how to stand up and sit down off the toilet or get up off the ground if they fall. So really what the principles of CrossFit are just trying to create that hedge against decrepitude, and it doesn't have to be in an affiliate. It's completely scalable. And so I just try to apply those same principles when I'm talking to someone or talking to a patient who wants to start exercising, but they're too nervous to do it in a group environment, or they're not ready to find a trainer yet. Just to give them simple things, because it's so intimidating. It's the world of exercise and fitness is so huge. And so there's so many decisions and choices that, so the biggest part and the hardest part, even for myself and for a lot of people that I know that are very into exercise, the hardest part is the decision. What am I going to do today to work out, or how many times am I going to work out this week? But if you can partner with someone and say, hey, let's do 3 times this week, let's do 10 burpees when you wake up in the morning, that's a great place to start, and just helping them make that decision and hold them accountable.
Yeah, it's these different sources of external accountability, whether it's a workout buddy or, you know, everyone who shows up every Wednesday for that workout. You know, yeah. Having that source of kind of external accountability can be incredibly empowering and motivating. I love the idea of, you know, keep it as simple as possible, mm-hmm. and not any simpler. And if I do 10 burpees every day, you know, and then I send a text to my buddy saying, I did 10 burpees, yeah. you know, may you be happy and have a joyful day. Like, that sounds like a pretty awesome routine, but it can be just that simple. I, you know, this podcast, not really sort of talking about, you know, aging, the aging process, but I loved your analogies to making it relevant to comparing yourself to, say, your grandmother. And, you know, I have some of my, one of my ideas I use in the aging process is I call my M's, so the letter M, and I really focus on five things. It's a little artificial, you know, that's like all these sort of acronym things are, but the first one is mind. The second one is movement. Mm-hmm. The third one is muscle. The fourth one is meals, so kind of food. Yeah. And the fifth one is meaning. So, you know, and it, I, with anyone, and I've kind of done this with my parents, and they're, you know, and sort of getting to upper 50s, and, you know, and they're just super active folks. But as we age, we really need to focus on something from each of those aspects. And, you know, I said movement, right? I didn't say exercise. Mm-hmm. And we're becoming much more aware, thanks to, you know, the work of people like Katie Bowman. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, Rob Wolf has really been pushing this too, from his background in CrossFit. But, you know, getting people to realize that, you know, movement is very, very different than exercise. And so I'm very, I try to share that concept of mindful movement, or being aware of your movement. And then, you know, are you doing this for a specific purpose? Are you training for an event? Are you, you know, doing, you know, identify what's the meaning, what's the intention behind this? And, but movement's a key piece. And then you start throwing in there all those, you know, other aspects I talk about, mind, meals, meaning, you know, all these things, you know, they come together to really help people kind of simplify, but stay motivated. And I find it, you know, very inspiring that people like yourself, you know, get that. You know, it's not just about, you know, even though, you know, you're this amazing athlete who has competed on the highest level, this world-class athlete, you know, if it, the, what, how you got into it and how you share it is, you know, you don't have to be like me. And, you know, actually, maybe I probably don't want you to seek that path. Like, it's going to be a lot of work, and you don't need to replicate this, but you can make this what you want. You can set your own goals. It's, you could set your intensity level.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that sometimes it makes it difficult for me to talk to people about this, because they see me as a competitive athlete. And really, the competition aspect of CrossFit is such a small part, and it's the real purpose and meaning of CrossFit has nothing to do with competition. It's about the things that I was talking about earlier. It's helping people hedge themselves against decrepitude, have long, active lives, being able to be really functional into their older ages, keeping chronic diseases away. And sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
I was going to say something else about... Oh, and also I think that competing in CrossFit and what you have to do to train and compete at that level, it's like any other professional sport now. It is not necessarily healthy for you in the long run to be training or competing that much. There's so much stress and there's so much strain on your body that you go through in order to have that short-term success. That it's really, if you're trying to go for longevity and health in the long run, it's absolutely, I don't think, the way to go. And so something that as athletes, you make that sacrifice because it's something that you're passionate about and you want to see what you're capable of, or you're doing it for some other purpose. But certainly I think there's a big distinction between CrossFit as a competitive outlet and then CrossFit as a whole and what it does for the average person.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I keep coming back to, you know, this concept of, you know, mindfulness, and that's kind of where I start with my with my patients is let's just be aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, what's your intention? Am I, like I said, am I training for something, or am I just doing this to have fun? Mm-hmm. Or, and then the process and outcome, I don't need to be, you know, if I want to be that athlete, it's going to take much different inputs than it's going to take to just be, to do a few more pull-ups. Mm-hmm. And to think that they're the same path, the same journey, is just a complete mistake. It's easy for people, like you said, I'm sure you have very difficult conversations, because people will look at you and they will only see the outcome, right? Here's this amazing athlete. She achieved so much and about to graduate medical school. It's just, you see the outcome, and it may be really hard to grasp everything that went into, like, the really gritty day in, day out work that it took to get there. And I think as a culture, we are very fascinated by the outcome and mm-hmm. not so interested in the journey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you tell people, like, would you want to be a world-class athlete and physician? They'd say, you know, a lot of people would say, yeah, I'd love that. And then, but would you say, would you be interested to wake up at 4:30 in the morning, 5 days in a row, to go do a workout and then go sit in a classroom for 4 hours learning about the physiology of the adrenal glands, mm-hmm. and then in the afternoon be told by somebody with a white coat that's longer than you that, you know, what you're doing and the path you've chosen is probably a mistake, because everything in medicine is just falling apart. And you know, if you couch it in those terms, and that was kind of a little cynical, but you know, if we look at what the journey entails versus the outcome, it's a very, very different concept. And it's hard to impart that to people, and we just have to be aware of them. We look around and see so much outcome. We see, you know, the outcome of everyone's hard work, but we're not going to see that, the hard work itself. I can only imagine, like I said, some of the things that you've done to get to where you're at, and it's amazing. I can, you know, certainly appreciate aspect of it for my medical training, but I guess just for fun, you have any stories about, you know, trying to do medical school and this, you know, competitive CrossFit training at the same time? Not to put you on the spot, but
oh,
I think
sure.
it would.
Oh, I have so many stories. It was really interesting the way it happened, because when I started doing CrossFit, it was so early on in the evolution of the games, and I competed the first year before my senior year of college, and then the second year was right about a month into medical school in 2011, and I felt like I was going to be able to train at the level I needed to and compete during my first year of med school. And I had seen my husband go through it the year before, because he was a year ahead of me in the program. And I felt pretty confident that I was going to be able to make it happen. Now, that year ended up being probably one of the hardest years of my life.
I can imagine.
To the point where I almost reached a breaking point. But really, what had happened was that I hadn't really stopped ever at that point, stopped to ask myself why I was competing. And the first couple years, it was like, oh, well, I'm good at this, so of course I'm going to keep going. I'm going to do it again. And eventually, enough kind of signs came that said, you need to stop and think about this and reflect on why is this important to you, and why are you doing this, and why are you putting yourself through this? Because it was obviously pretty much my whole life was wake up, go to school, train, go to bed over and over again. Not a lot of time for other activities, not a lot of time for friends, not a lot of time to spend with my boyfriend at the time. So once I answered that question for myself, training became much better, much more fun. I ended up having actually my best overall finish that year, which I think says a lot about what you mentioned, the process versus the outcome, is once you start enjoying the process and are focused on that, the outcome kind of takes care of itself. But if you focus on the outcome, oftentimes you're going to be unhappy, and you're definitely not going to be enjoying the process as much. And chances are the outcome is probably not going to be as great as a result. So after that year, that's when I took a year off, and really took a step back. I knew second year of med school, much more challenging. We had board exam that summer. Really happy with my decision, although it seemed like the end of the world at the time because it had become such a big part of my life.
I'm sure. It's, you know, you're having to give up something that you value so much, and it's not like a right or wrong. You don't give up, you know, I'm giving up Skittles because I know they're not good for me. That's an easy thing to give up, right? Giving up something that's been a part of your life and can be incredibly nourishing, that's really challenging.
Definitely, definitely. And so when I came back, it was the following 2 years when I was doing research. It was so awesome. And I've learned so many. I think that training and being at that level, you'd learn so much about yourself so quickly. It's like taking on any challenge. It's like going through med school. When you do something challenging like that and you're pushing your limits, you learn a lot about yourself and you learn a lot about life and what's important. And I was really, really grateful for all of those lessons that I learned through the process. And I think probably the greatest expression of this was how my career ended up ending, which was in 2015. I was going into my last season of competing, and I had trained that whole year through my clinical, through research. I was about to start my clinical rotations after that games. And I ended up tearing my Achilles at the regional event. So I didn't even make it to the games, but had that injury and knew that, you know, that was how my career as a CrossFit Games athlete was going to end. And for a lot of people, I think that would be really, really devastating. And it certainly was very heartbreaking, especially initially. But I think because I had really, really embraced the journey, especially during that season, I had so much fun training. I felt so much more balanced. I had achieved a lot of personal milestones during that year of training, had great training partners, and I was so happy. I felt that I had really given it all I had. I had no regrets coming out of that season. And as a result of the way the events happened, I ended up having this really incredible moment with the CrossFit community that never would have been possible if I didn't have that injury at that specific time. So for me, it was just sort of the ultimate expression of, hey, it really is about the journey and the outcome doesn't matter.
Wow. I love that story. I mean, if you went back, you'd probably say, I would love to not tear my Achilles.
Right.
But actually, you grew and experienced something that otherwise, you know, you wouldn't have been able to experience. And, you know, it's actually something I've researched more specifically in my time off from medical school. I was looking into positive psychology and this concept of post-traumatic growth. And, you know, you can insert trauma X. I was specifically looking at patients who are going to undergo major cardiac surgery. Mm-hmm. But this concept that we can be made, you know, stronger and grow spiritually, grow more connected with our community, learn to appreciate what we have in our life after you experience a major setback.
It's so true.
But just being willing and open is the key. If you're not willing and open to see a challenge or an illness or an injury as a place to maybe, you know, grow or learn something different, then it won't be possible. It's sort of the key prerequisite. Well, thank you for that story. I'm such a storyteller, so I could. It's just my modality of choice when it comes to trying to impart knowledge and share wisdom. I did want to kind of address one or two more things before we ended, and one being, you know, obviously we both share this realization of lifestyle medicine and even more specifically functional medicine as being a way to approach wellness and healing. And, you know, a lot of people have heard what's traditional medicine, you know, best for, and what's maybe what do we not do so well with traditional medicine when it comes to maybe chronic disease care. But fundamentally, it doesn't matter what we think, you know, which, you know, type of practice or type of clinician is involved. You know, if we just focus on, you know, medical training as we've been through it, do you feel that doctors should be learning about fitness and not just that, oh, the recommendations I should tell my patients are spend 150 minutes a week doing vigorous exercise, right, and make sure you combine flexibility exercises with resistance training and cardio. And, yeah, you know, I can read that off and I can look up those recommendations. But, you know, is there a fundamental need for, you know, medical institutions, medical education to say, hey, trainees, you need to learn about fitness. You need to learn about movement. You need to learn about the application of exercise in different settings, and maybe not the super nuanced, this may be more beneficial for this type of patient, but at least give you a framework on how to approach movement and exercise with our patients. It's hard for me to think, I can't really say off the top of my head what formal training we've received over the course of 4 years in school. Mm-hmm. It's not significant. And it definitely blends in with all the other things I've done outside of school. So it kind of becomes pointless to try to fish out where it came from. But mm-hmm. do you feel like it's a requirement, or we need to change medical education? Like, should doctors be the ones knowledgeable about fitness and exercise?
So I think absolutely yes. And I think I'll go back to, I love this quote that Dr. Hyman always says where, oh, remember that class in medical school about how to build a healthy human? And it's not something that we really get in medical school. And I think that we need to at least have some thread as we're going through our training about how to create health, because that's not something that we typically learn. And I think that involves absolutely nutrition. I think it involves movement. I think it involves a lot of other things too that are really important for health. Like you mentioned, having meaning or purpose, relaxation or stress management techniques, having a supportive community, all of these things that are really, really important, but I don't think we understand the degree to which they're important, or we're not taught the degree to which they're important in medical school, or we're not taught how to help our patients create health. And so I think at least a basic education of each of those areas, movement and fitness included, would benefit a lot of doctors. And I think also there's something to be said for practicing what we preach and the trust that patients have in a physician who actually practices a healthy lifestyle, I think, is so much more. And so if you don't understand how to apply these things in your own life, how can your patients trust you to teach them or to help them apply them in their lives too?
It is so, so true on many levels. I mean, one, this experiential learning. So learning by doing rather than, you know, doing something because I told you, and because you are the only one that's gonna be able to create meaning. I can't tell you, you know, why. And but also, if I need to know the what first, and you know, provide you with a space to make some of these changes. And you know, I always come back, I'm not gonna recommend a lifestyle change or, you know, a supplement or any kind of therapy if I haven't incorporated into my life, or I haven't tried it out, or if I'm not very, very sure that it's incredibly applicable to this patient and is unlikely to harm them. And people will pick up, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, the relative fakeness or your authenticity behind your recommendations. So if you say, yeah, you should, you know, I think it'd be helpful if you meditated 10 minutes a day in the evening and incorporated, maybe try to go to 1 to 2 yoga classes a week and, you know, incorporate these kinds of foods. And if you're not doing that, you know, people, you know, we can talk about patient compliance, but it'll be much less likely that your patients will resonate with your advice and want to make those changes. And so, you know, I found personally, I can tell, you know, specific stories of, you know, patients coming back and where I sort of, you know, was not quite aligned with, you know, what was I doing in my life at the time? Oh, actually, I was kind of skimping on my meditation practice. And here I am telling people that they should be meditating 20 minutes a day. And I had kind of given up my practice. And sure enough, they didn't buy into it. And so we have to come back to that authenticity piece. Who are we? What are we sharing with our community? What are we sharing with our patients? And, you know, and try to stay in alignment with that. And when we do stray, because it will happen, you know, bring ourselves back, be aware, bring ourselves back to that place.
Absolutely.
Well, I would love for you to, you know, I've been inspired by your work in so many ways. One, you're just such an amazing, I think, entrepreneur in this space, willing to share your stories and seeing that you can motivate people beyond just the one-on-one interaction in a clinic or hospital, and being moved to try things that were probably very challenging to get off the ground. Websites, podcasts, you know, various, you know, articles, blogs. And I'd love for you to maybe just take this time to share what it's been like to even enter into being an entrepreneur, and perhaps what are some of the things you've been working on recently that people should know about?
Sure. Well, I never thought I would have called myself an entrepreneur, but thank you for that. I
think we just have to embrace it. I still don't think myself.
It's very different than I ever thought I would be doing. But I just feel so, so grateful for the opportunities that I've had through competing in CrossFit and that platform that has given me. And I feel a really immense amount of responsibility to use that platform for positive things and to further the mission or further some needs that I see in the world. And so I've kind of just tried to follow that mindset with everything that I do. So after I stopped competing, that's when I started my podcast. And the inspiration for that was really just to share people's stories. Like you said, I love interacting with people one-on-one, and I love hearing stories. And I've met so many amazing people through my competition career and through different opportunities. And I just wanted to share those stories with a wider audience. And so it's been really, really fun. I've been so happy with the way it has evolved, and I'm really excited. It's something that I plan to continue doing for a very long time. So that has just kind of evolved naturally. And then from there, my husband and I actually, around the same time, we started a online training program, mostly because we knew that we wanted to keep, even though I wasn't competing and training hours a day, I still wanted to maintain my fitness level, and I wanted to be super efficient when I was in the gym because I was in med school, he was in residency. And so we really tried to create the most efficient training program and give people the most amount of structure that they could have so they didn't have to make any of those decisions. So we write out every step of the way, the warm up through the cool down. We give them a timer that you just press go and it walks you through the whole 60-minute training session. And it's for individuals who are familiar with CrossFit and who have been doing it before, but we're working on creating a more accessible program for other people as well. Just going off that same concept that people need something that they can be held accountable to, a community, even if it's online, and some structure so that it makes it really easy to insert into their lives because people are so busy and they're doing so many different things, but we just want to help them make the time for that movement part of their life. So that's been really amazing too. And we've connected with a lot of awesome people through that program. It's been great for me personally because it holds me accountable. And then it's so great to see the progress that our members have been making as well. So those two things have been really, really fun and things that I'm planning to continue during residency, trying to get back to blogging a little bit more. I haven't done a lot of writing since probably my second year or third year of medical school. But I really intend to do more of that as well. And then...
Well, perhaps that's something I can keep you accountable for.
Okay,
And you can push me too, because it's something I want to continue doing.
Yes.
Because it's been so nourishing. So maybe there's an accountability relationship starting here.
Absolutely. Yes. I think that the podcast has been fun because it's something that you can record and it doesn't have to be perfect and you put it up there for people to listen to. But for me, writing is something that's so hard for me to just let it be. And I am always trying to revise and make things perfect. And I know they don't have to be, but it's harder for me to to just say, okay, enough is enough. I've gotten these thoughts down and let's publish them and hear what people think. So definitely that's something we can hold ourselves accountable to this year.
I like it.
I did want to mention one other thing I'm really excited to be working on with. Actually, through functional medicine, I developed a really amazing friendship with a dietitian here in Cleveland. And we've done some programs together. She's helped us do some nutrition challenges for our online training program. And we did a nutrition reset this past January. I'm working with her on a newsletter that's basically, it's going to be a subscription newsletter. We're calling it the Functional Feed. And it's basically going to be once a month where people can get some amazing recipes and shopping lists from her, some of the latest maybe research studies or hot topics in functional medicine. And then my husband Danny and I will be collaborating to write a more functional medicine focused article in each issue as well. So we're really excited about that because it kind of came out of the free reset that we did this past January. We realized people wanted more resources throughout the year. So we've been working on that, and I think it'll come out probably starting in July.
That sounds amazing. I personally want to get in on this and would love to connect and be, you know, offer something or offer
yeah,
it to
it would
my
be
patients.
Amazing to have you write an article, or we could feature you in one of the issues. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I keep coming back to, you know, it's so fun to make new content and create and write and do these podcasts, but I don't really like to reinvent the wheel. And so when I find people who are doing tremendous work that's in alignment with my values and what I'm hoping to be able to provide my patients, it's like I definitely don't have the time or money or skill set to create it myself. So why do I need to? Let me, you know, let's align ourselves, build this community network, and, you know, offer these types of programs for people. So I would love
Absolutely.
To stay connected to offer that to folks. That's really exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been cool. That's kind of the same mindset I have for nutrition, because people are always asking about nutrition advice or what recipes you use or things like that. And I'm saying, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. There's so many amazing recipes out there and nutritionists, and Bridget has such an amazing blog and resources that it's been an amazing partnership to try to just direct people towards her, because she has obviously so much more expertise in that area than I do.
Yeah, it was kind of the reason, you know, a few months ago I'd been thinking about for a while, like, could I make an education resource, not any new content in this resource, but how can I help people, funnel them to areas to support their well-being, you know, if they're interested in integrative and functional medicine, and construct it in a way that, you know, allows people to fit it with their cognitive style. If you're an auditory person, there's a whole bunch of podcasts for you. If you're a text person, there's a bunch of blogs and ebooks and books. And if you like videos, you know, there's some of the functional forum videos and other video formats. But try to create this resource to like direct everyone, because I was getting that same question. It's like, well, where did you learn about all of this medicine? Or where do you go to get recipes? And I was like, well, go here. I kept saying the same thing. I was like, well, let me just create something. You know, it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be way more things that could be on there, but can I get something that's really helpful for people and use that to direct them to their goals? So we're in the age of so much information, and being able to filter through it is quite difficult and it's a huge challenge. And I mean, I even laugh, like, we're starting to pay for services, like pay to have information removed from our lives, like paying to not have ads on YouTube. And yes, we're getting a service inherently for free, but we're getting the point where we're having to pay to have information taken away so we can be more at peace. That just tells you, I think, all you need to know about that. But
so much information.
Well, wonderful. I guess, you know, I usually end my podcast, I've been kind of, I guess, you know, I love the idea of having questions at the end, and you have some lovely ones, and I was debating about actually kind of reversing them back onto you. But you can decide. I usually just leave this open for you to share any last story, piece of advice, perhaps for someone who wants to get into medicine or healing, or any final words that you think would really benefit this audience?
Wow, that is so many possibilities.
I know, it's a big box.
I think, especially for someone who wants to get into this field or some related field, I think I would just encourage you to know why you want to do it. And if you're passionate about it, absolutely go for it. I've talked to a lot of people who are thinking, you know, maybe I want to go to med school, maybe not, or maybe I want to become a PA. And I think that the field of medicine is changing so quickly, and especially primary care. It's so exciting, and I think there are so many opportunities to really create health in our communities. And if you're passionate about that, I say absolutely go for it, and don't let any fears or any doubts get in your way. Really, just if you want something enough, you'll make it happen. And enjoy, like you had said earlier, enjoy every step of the process, because that is really the fun part, and that's where you learn and you grow and become a better person, and then make the people around you better too.
Wonderful. I engage in the journey, enjoy the process. Don't wait for your life to start when you're doctor or fill in the blank for with, yes, whatever. Don't wait for your life to start. And well, Julie, thank you so much. I totally agree. We need to, maybe we'll get to do a functional medicine module together at some point.
That would be awesome.
That would be really cool. But I really need to meet you and your husband. I was just realizing, you know, I'm sitting here, and we were talking before, and about your changing your name, and I was like, where is this familiar? And it was, duh, you know, when I was there for my interview.
Yes.
Everyone kept saying, you need to meet this guy, you need to meet, and unfortunately he was, I wasn't able to meet him at the time, and now it all makes sense, because like he does exercise, he's CrossFit, he's, you know, paleo, he's functional, and now it's like, of course, you two. We'll just have to, we'll find a space to connect in person, but in the meantime, we'll have to stay in touch.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. This was super fun.
Yeah. And we'll have links to everything for people to get, you know, in contact with you, the programs you mentioned. But would you want to just leave anyone with any final places of maybe where to start? Because I know we'll have a lot of information in the notes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. My best place to find me is juliefouché.com. You can find everything I'm up to from there.
I like it. Well, until we meet, I hope you enjoy these last few weeks before starting residency. And I'm just so glad that there are people like you in family medicine. And I know there's other people like us. It's felt maybe a little siloed in the process, but through these connections and just knowing that there's other people that share that same mission and share that same vision. So thank you for holding the space that you're holding.
Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Awesome.
Thank you for your presence and willingness to receive a new narrative, a passionate perspective, and perhaps a deeper sense of connection with our collective purpose. Please share this podcast with any and all that you believe will benefit from its intention to relieve one's doing and engage one's being. Please share your comments about the conversation on our podcast page, and leave a review in iTunes so that the voices in this space can spread to all ears ready to receive it. Music credit goes to Dillingham for their song Vessel. Remain open, stay curious, and forever be love.
You walked on fire, and I know you tried.